Where men stop in for a haircut or a shave. It's a place where men fraternize with friends and we converse about a myriad of topics. Now see, barbershops all around the world serve as a place where men, we feel free to share our opinions, most of which typically never leaves the four walls from which it was originally shared. So when you walk out of a barbershop with a fresh haircut, and the gentleman on the conversation will definitely, they can attest to that, and newfound knowledge, you can't help but walk with your head held high and a little pep in your step. If you ask anybody, trust me, a haircut makes a difference. And for the ladies, when you get your hair done, I'm sure it makes a difference. Barbershop Conversation is a sneak peek into the conversations that we men have that most folks aren't privy to. So what happens in a barbershop usually stays in a barbershop. Until now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Answer Show. I'm your gracious host, Joe Paul. I'd like to start off by recognizing our amazing listeners for making this one of the hottest shows around. We certainly appreciate your loyalty. Definitely want to make sure that we stay connected. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube. What else is there? Snapchat. You name it, I'm on there, at Joe Paul Speaks. I'd also like to invite you to join our highly controversial Answers discussion threads, which occur Monday through Friday starting at noon Eastern Standard Time. Simply log on to facebook.com/Mr. Joe Paul to join the conversation. Trust me, you will not regret it. On this episode of The Answer Show, we have lots to discuss as we, I mean Jackson, AJ, and I try to bring some sense and sensibility to these subjects. First, I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce my brother from another mother, AJZ, in the studio. AJ, what's happening, bro? Welcome to the show.
What's going on, bro? Man, I feel like it's been too long, man. It's good to be back on the air.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate the listeners, as always, man. Hopefully we can get, what are we, season three now?
Season three. That's major, man.
It's been a while. We've been doing for a minute, yeah.
For a minute.
So I'm looking forward to it.
That's what's up. How can the folks get connected with you, Jeezy?
You can get at me on Instagram, on Twitter, at AJeezy, the number four, governor. Check this out. How about my handle was spelled wrong all this time, but didn't nobody tell me?
Wait a minute.
Governor wasn't spelled right, man.
I thought you meant to do that, though.
See, I'm cool like that. I can do it. But no, I didn't mean to do that.
Really?
But one of my friends, me look, I was like, hey, you know governor ain't spelled right? I was like, really? And I looked. Okay. I had to go edit my joints on all my social medias, man. So if you were trying to follow me and you were trying to spell governor the right way, you probably had an issue. But I got it now. Call that.
That's what's up. You know, that's crazy because I'm not going to lie to you. I really thought you intentionally did that. I'm like, wow, cool, because you had A and then the GZ for governor. I thought you was going for the whole urban Hank Sweet Maxwell kind of thing.
But then that works then. I didn't look like a complete idiot then. Okay,
you didn't.
I meant to do it. I meant to do that.
Hey, we'll take it. We'll take it. Also joining us in the studio is the reasonable bachelor himself, Mr. Jackson Bracey. Jackson, what's cracking, bro?
All right, what's going on, fellas? Happy to be here. You're right, AJ. It does feel like we hadn't been here in a long time, but I'm eager to get started.
Indeed. So let's do that then. Let's get the conversation started. So today I want to definitely touch base on the question I posted today on the Facebook page about the scenario. And yes, it's a real scenario. You know, a young woman. And I get these inbox questions often, believe it or not, people who actually just have advice questions or need advice questions. And I'm sure you both get it as well. And this particular case, this young lady came to me and said, hey, you know, Joe, I met the perfect man. And this is exactly how she started. I met the perfect man. I mean, he has a master's degree. He's very educated. He comes from a great family. He has a great life. He doesn't drink seemingly perfect guy. So, of course, the next question is, well, what's wrong with him? And after a month of them conversing via Skype and on the phone and text, he mentioned to her, because they were about to meet. They were about to actually set up a time to meet. And he mentioned to her, like, wow, you know, usually most women don't get this far in the process. They typically bow out at this point. And so she was wondering, well, what do you mean they typically bow out? Like, how does that work? And so he said, well, maybe you didn't read my profile well enough. And so she was like, well, what's on your profile? So she goes back to check, and it turns out that he is wheelchair bound. He has absolutely no use of his lower limbs. So her dilemma now is, wow, what do I do? Do I stick with it and just continue to, you know, act like nothing's wrong, or do I follow how I truly feel, which is I know I can't do it, you know? And so this was really, really tough, because and I want you both to chime in on this. This was really tough. You know, what I told her was, you know, to thine own self be true, you know what I'm saying? If you know that you can't handle something like that, don't put yourself in that situation, you know? Jackson, you said it best about the compassion, like that women have so much compassion that it clouds their judgment, right? How do you feel about this whole thing, Jackson? Go ahead.
I do think that sometimes women will be a little bit too compassionate because they don't want to appear to be less than to the masses. And what I mean by that is that, you know, I noticed that a lot of women were commenting today saying things like, you know, it's not that big of a deal, that's not a deal breaker. And I'm wondering, were they saying that because really and truly they are open to dating a man who is a paraplegic, or are they just not wanting to sound as though they don't have the kind of giving compassion or spirit to be with somebody? I mean, because I think someone else made a great comment. They said, hey, man, I've seen women not date men for a plethora of reasons. Mm-hmm. This is just another reason for somebody to not date somebody. And in order to treat handicapped people as they are regular people, they have to get in line and accept their deficiencies too. I mean, we've had the Ezra Show going on for a long time on the Facebook page, and I've seen women say things like they wouldn't date a man who didn't make a certain amount of money. You wouldn't date a man who was not tall enough. So my thought process is that, well, why is it all of a sudden some kind of big deal to where you don't want to date it, where you have like this moment of thoughtfulness that makes you want to be open to dating a man who's in a wheelchair, who will always be in a wheelchair? I mean, it is hard enough to move along in your life through sickness and health when things happen to your body and you get older just as a person with all of your functioning limbs. Think about that burden and how much of a weight that is when you have to do that with somebody who cannot walk.
Yeah. No, it's real, and it gets very real when you're actually dealing with it. I mean, we had folks who commented on how they've worked with or had experienced someone who wasn't wheelchair-bound, and it's just difficult. It's not easy. I mean, it really isn't easy. Jeezy, what's your take on the whole thing?
First of all, I mean, what I would say to that young lady is, y'all not really dating yet because you haven't even met him. So I wouldn't worry too much about, you know, how you appear to the masses, as far as, you know, if that scenario is just a little bit too much for you emotionally, or if it's just not your cup of tea, as far as, you know, you being fulfilled in a relationship based on somebody with those kind of limitations. And like Jackson was saying, I think it's hilarious how, you know, quickly people can become unshallow when it's something that, you know, people would I guess they feel frowned upon if you said, oh, no, you know, no way in hell I would date somebody that's in a wheelchair. But yet you have no problem saying that, you know, if you aren't 6'1", I can't even roll with you. But yet you roll with a dude that can't stand up. Like, we're really supposed to believe that? Not at all.
Yeah, he's definitely not 6'1".
Yeah. You ain't lying about that one.
Yeah. My bad. Was I wrong for that?
No, not at all.
Well,
not
he's not. I mean, but if he is, we'll never know because he won't be standing up, will he?
That's true, right. That. No,
true,
exactly.
That. True that. Yeah, you know,
get the lift kit on that chair, you might be 6'1". Some dubs on it.
Hey, y'all tripping, man. Y'all are tripping. You know, let me tell you what's funny, too. Here's another thing that I asked her, because she said that they Skyped. And so I'm like, well, you never noticed, like, a chair or anything? Or, like, you know, she's like, no, I never. I mean, he was sitting upright. It didn't, you know, I couldn't tell anything. And so I just was completely shocked. And here's the thing, though. You know what she told me? She said she really, really liked him. I mean, after 4 weeks, you know, of constant communication. Depends. Buddy might have that G. You know what I'm saying? He might have G to the point where he gets chicks to fall in love with him that quickly. But I tell you this, she definitely was into this dude, you know, but she didn't want to hurt his feelings, and she knew that that was something that she couldn't deal with, you know. And I wondered if she would even consider going out on a date just to say, hey, look, you know, just to say she did it, just to go on a date and see if she liked it and then give it a try. Would y'all recommend that to someone? And let's say it was you guys in the scenario. Jeezy, let's say it was you in the scenario and the chick on the other end happens to be in a wheelchair. Would you? And then everything else was perfect about her. I mean, she was fine. She was A through Z. She checked everything off on your list, right, on your rubric. Would you consider going on a date after you found out that she was in a wheelchair?
I can't find. I would go to dinner with her, and I probably would hang out with her from time to time. Now, whether I would actually take on the full responsibility that comes along with a committed relationship, or like where it would get to the point where I would want to marry her and, you know, be half responsible for her, you know, medical care and attention and, you know, things like that tend to get progressively worse as you age. So that would be in the back of my mind. But as far as like friendship, if I was talking to somebody over the phone and, you know, we were communicating, you know, well, and at a level that, you know, is hard to come by as far as compatibility and things in common. Yeah, I would go eat dinner with her, kick it with her, have drinks with her. But, you know, I don't know how much further beyond that things would go, but I wouldn't feel any type of embarrassment or shame by, you know, just hanging out with the person that just happened to be, you know, physically impaired. Not at all.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. Jackson, what's your take on that? I mean, would you have gone on a date? Would you have said, you know, let me at least give this a try. Maybe this is who the Lord is sending my way. Would you,
that Jesus delivery service, he'd be dropping them off.
I'm gonna be upfront and say no. I would not. I would let that thing fizzle out and develop, because you have to figure if she's been speaking to him for a month long period, there's a level of anticipation that's built up not to encounter each other as friends, but to encounter each other as potential dating companions. So it just puts me in a space that even if I did go out with her, well, first of all, I wouldn't go out just to give it a try to see, because I don't have to go to that for myself to know how I feel about that for a long-term relationship for myself. I just think that there is, and this sounds bad when you say this to people, but this is the truth, in just about 90% of relationships or situations where people do not like somebody, you just feel like there is an easier or more comfortable circumstance for you out there. I believe that I would be able to possibly find a very nice young lady with some working legs that would make our relationship flow a little bit easier. So, but to speak on what AJ said, I certainly would not have a problem having a social relationship with anyone who would be impaired, or have any other kind of physical insecurity that might preclude them from maybe being my life partner. But
so Jackson, check this out. So Jackson, let's say she fine, dog. She fine. I'm talking about fine, funny,
bad.
Only thing is, you wouldn't kiss in the mouth if y'all was hanging out. Tell the truth. Tell the truth, dog. I'm telling you, dog. I'm gonna kiss in the mouth, dog. I'm just gonna do it. I'm fine.
Oh, man. Hey,
do it.
You kind of have to, though. I mean, look, you kind of have to,
though. Like this. There's a certain casualness under which men can function when you're just hanging out with a woman that might make those sorts of things manifest. But when you're talking about a woman who you've been talking to for over a month and she has certain flowery expectations for where this could go and her level of excitement, because, you know, like, I find that...
But let's be real, though. When do women not have those flowery expectations, no matter what tone you set?
Okay, that's good.
If they pick you, they just pick you, whether you like it or not.
That's true. That's true. But here's my response to that. I feel a little bit... This sounds bad, but I'm going to be... You know, I'm trying to tell every ounce of truth that I can say to somebody. You feel much easier walking away from an able-bodied woman who can go walk down the street and get her another guy than a young woman who's been struck with an affliction that makes her options a little bit more limited.
Well, of course. Of course, yeah, you don't feel that sorry. You know, you don't feel sorry for the woman who could actually bounce back.
I didn't want to use the words pity or sorrowful, but that's the truth.
But that's the truth.
Because a lot of the way the women were talking, on the thread today was there was a little ounce of pity that was going into the idea that I would give him a shot. Well, hold on.
Yep.
Now, first of all, you were talking to him for a whole month, and he was the love of your life. Now you just relegated to giving him a shot. That's called pity.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Real talk.
For myself, I don't believe in drawing myself into a position to where I'm going to do something for somebody out of a sense of pity, if I can avoid that.
I feel that.
So,
I mean, but we've all let's agree.
The approach on the internet was masterful, though. I feel like his approach on the internet was masterful and brilliant. The internet dating game for people
it's
another level. But what it does, it allows someone who is either shy on the approach or someone who has a certain level of deficiencies that are going to be immediately recognized in your face to kind of ease their way into an acquaintance or an association where you get to value me and know me for who I am before you get to know my affliction, whatever that affliction is. Got
true.
A club foot. I can't walk.
True.
I don't have no car. I'm homeless.
All of that is called deception. That's what that's called right there. When you're deceiving somebody because you ain't being real. That's why, let me tell you, that's why I'm against the whole internet game, man. I'm against that internet dating because people create these people. Come on now.
That was before our time when this internet thing got people being able to fish way too easy. Now, you remember the time when you had to talk to every single girl that number was in your phone?
It was
you
effort.
Literally talked to each and every one of them face to face.
To give you the number,
like, but
it's
like
it's
taking candy from a baby, man. It's
yes,
crazy.
Indeed.
Like,
shooting a fish in a barrel. I mean, all of these.
Anybody can connect. Yeah.
Man, swipe right, swipe left. It's like, is that easy now?
I'm gonna say like this. I remember. I'm gonna date myself. I remember when Black Planet was hot. I'm still wondering how the guy who made Black Planet isn't the billionaire that Zuckerberg is. Because that was what kicked off the whole social media game, as far as I'm concerned.
Black Planet was
that joint.
He probably sold it.
I ain't gonna tell y'all what happened to me on Black Planet, though. I ain't.
I just remember having a standard message that I would send out to like 30 girls a day.
Of course.
To see what happens. Same copy and paste.
That's the same thing with online dating, though.
Yeah, same copy and paste, man.
Of course. Hilarious. I need to hear the story, Jeezy. Let's go.
So the Black Planet story, dog. So freshman year at Florida State, man. So I'm on it's about spring break for us. And at the time, my pops had a condo in Orange Park, so I wasn't going to go all the way to South Carolina. So I thought what I met was this bad little breezy on Black Planet, dog. I'm talking about I'm putting my best typing skills on her right now. I'm talking about 40 words a minute. I'm putting 40 words a minute on that. So we set everything up to link up over spring break. So I'm at the spot, get ready. We got our little plans, whatnot, whatever. And she told me the way how she described herself, and she had pictures too. And the pictures, I thought the pictures was legit. But in the way that she described herself, she's like, people always say I look like Mariah Carey. I should have thought it was some bull right then, but I was like, yeah, Mariah, I'm going to get Mariah Carey on spring break. They're going to be hey,
Mariah Curry.
Watch. So she rolled up, dog, and I was like, man, hell no, man. She was terrible, bro. But I don't have that killer, cold-hearted instinct to where I would be like, roll out, shorty. Just go home. So I let her come in. Still took her out to dinner, still took her to the movies. But when she came back, when we got back to the spot, I think she thought that something was going to happen that wasn't going to happen because she wasn't attractive to me at all. So
What was different about her? What was different? I mean, was she bigger than her pictures? Was she?
She wasn't fat or out of shape. She just wasn't cute. She just wasn't cute at all. Like, she didn't look like Mariah Carey at all, man.
Were those her pictures? I mean, did she look like her pictures at least?
No, that wasn't her. That couldn't have been her. Unless she had a
She did some Photoshop work like that picture you sent me earlier today. That's the only way. That's the only way.
Hey, that's real. Hey, that's not Photoshop. I'm getting them abs. Okay. I just see y'all don't understand. I'm a visionary. You know what I'm saying? I can see to the future. So, you know what I'm saying?
You gotta see it before you can achieve it.
You
right?
Better believe it. That's what I practice. That's what I preach. That's what I preach. So,
what I did to wrap things up, I just that night I was like, you know, you go ahead, sleep upstairs. I sleep downstairs. So after that, I think she got upset and she went on and left.
So wait, y'all, where did y'all meet up at though?
At the spot, at the condo.
At the condo. Oh, okay. So she. Okay.
So I couldn't peace out on it. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I could have been cold and just been like, "You don't look like some pictures, so I think you should just roll." But I felt that would have been mean. You know what I'm saying?
Like that would have been the right thing to do.
But she knew she was ugly though.
The freshman year of college, AJ. I'm sure the AJ of 2015 would say, "Hold on, man." I'm not about to play
$22
to the schools
on
right
this Taco
now.
Bell. Nah, girl, can't do it.
I'm not gonna waste my last $40 on this 2 for $20 on your No way. You got to roll.
Man, I tell y'all a story one time, man. I met this girl, and here's the thing. Now, I had no idea that I don't remember meeting her. Is what I'm saying? Because we both were in Tampa visiting, and she went back to I think it was Arizona, and I went back to Houston, and so. She I don't remember her, okay? Let me just get that. I don't remember her. So she was sending me pictures, right? And I got the pictures, da-da-da, and she's like, you know, when are you going to see me? When are you going to come? You know, I was pretty nice that night. I really do not remember her. So finally, I was like, you know what? Okay, I'll buy a ticket. Bought a ticket. Went to see her. And, man, when I got to the airport, it was not the same person. You know, it wasn't. So I did get in the car. And drive because I was like, this is just not right. So I made up an emergency and bought a ticket to fly back about 3 hours later. I was not gonna stay there that weekend. I wasn't gonna stay there that weekend.
You catfished before the TV show came out.
Oh, for sure.
Like a living testimony. A living testimony.
For sure. But you know, to that point, What'd you say?
I said nothing worse than the woman that undersells her weight.
Yes, indeed.
Man.
And women are masterful at that, man. They're masterful at posting a picture from 7 years ago.
Time out, dog. But check this out. What's up, ladies? What's up with this bull where the big girls hold the phone like directly above their head so the angle be off?
Yes, I do.
Any person I see online where they holding the camera straight above their head and you can't catch no angles, I know you fail already.
And if it's just like head and shoulder shots, I need to see you doing something. Like I need to see full body. I mean, I don't trust just the head.
That fat might not spread, you know, all this.
Exactly.
So we got to see what's going on further on down.
Underneath. Absolutely. No, you ain't lying. You know, speaking of which, I'm planning a high school reunion again, the second anniversary of our 10th year anniversary of our high school reunion. And so, and it's really always interesting to me when you get to these places. And I love the fact that, you know, I'm still the fine man that I was back in high school. But when you get there, you know what I'm saying? There are a lot of chicks there, though, who, boy, you get there, you're like, what happened to you? Like, you know, time.
Man, I tell you one thing that you always learn at high school reunions or reunions of any kind where at least 10 years has gone by is that life kicks ass, man. Life kicks ass. You be like,
some people.
Man, you lost all 32 pieces last time.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. How was prison, sir? How was prison? Because clearly that's where you've been, bro. That's clearly where you've been. Yes, indeed. Yeah, people be looking rough, man. People be definitely looking rough, man. You know what I want to do now? I want to switch subjects really quickly and talk about this issue of this self-image the problem with self-image that a lot of these women have. And I'm talking specifically about butt injections. You know, I just don't understand what the fascination is. And I don't know who's responsible for pushing that out. Is it the fact that people see how successful Kim Kardashian is and because of what she did, and now they kind of want to emulate that. You know, Jackson and Jeezy, y'all going to have to help me understand this because I don't get it. I want to play this quick piece from a woman who died from butt injections, and it happens all the time. I mean, illegal butt injections happen all the time. Here's a clip.
The last time Kiara Reed saw her mother, Waukesha, she was leaving her apartment and headed here to this place in Deep Ellum.
She was feeling just fine because we was laughing and talking about stuff.
But Waukesha never came home. Her body was found here at the salon. Police say the salon owner claimed she was operating a place that does eyelash extensions. But Waukesha's family says she had been getting Brazilian butt injections.
Every time she go get it done, she comes back, but this time she didn't come back.
Waukesha's family believes that her body was left here overnight. Her appointment was at 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening. Her body wasn't reported found until Thursday morning. And her family says Waukesha's truck was parked right here where this truck is parked now.
It hurts because my brothers are still young. I'm still young.
Kiara says her mother has paid thousands of dollars for the injections. She went with her on one visit. Her mother told her how the process worked.
She told me the needle is like real big and it was real big and thick, and they'll pump like some white clear looking stuff inside your butt cheek.
The owners of the property tell News 8 they have evicted the renters. They too thought that they were running an eyelash extension business. DPD says Waukesha had no obvious signs of trauma and now have to wait for the medical examiner to find out how a healthy 34-year-old woman mysteriously died.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
Yeah, that's tough, man. I mean, that's really, really tough. You know, when you think about all these women who are actually, they're dying to look good, right? Literally dying to look, and not even look good, but I mean to enhance themselves. They're dying to enhance themselves. Jackson, what's your reaction to this story?
Well, I think it's sad, and I think what's most troubling to me, or what I guess I've become somewhat normalized to, I've kind of become desensitized to women going through painstaking efforts to make themselves look a certain kind of way, whether it be from killing your hair with what they do to their hair, or getting, you know, color contacts, or wearing high heel shoes every day, all for the desire to enhance yourself physically. But I think that what's most concerning about what happened with this woman, she went to a non-reputable illegal place. There are actually certified places where you can go to get, butt injections or implants, and places where you're not risking your life in some back room of a garage where somebody's injecting you with silicone. So
very
I think
true.
There are places to go, but I'm just sorry that this woman felt so captivated by this that she took such, you know, drastic sorts of means to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I mean, it's really, really sad. And I mean, is it because they see how much money strippers get? Is it because I don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. I really don't. I don't know why people just aren't happy with what they were born with. I mean, obviously, I can understand, but I don't get it. Jeezy, what's your take on it? You know, first response.
Man, it's crazy, man. I mean, first of all, with a name like Keisha, you know she probably had a little booty anyway, so she probably didn't even need butt injections from the get-go. But the fact that a 34-year-old woman, which you would, you know, I would, by benefit of the doubt, which, you know, unfortunately a lot of times is in error, give a woman of that age, I would automatically give them credit for some maturity in that,
yeah.
You know, you would have come into your own and have embraced who you actually are and like yourself a little bit more than to have to do that, you know, type of thing to, and especially in a back room, like Jackson was saying, man, like, yeah, you probably get like a 70% mark off for, you know, the back alley injection. But I mean, the risk that comes along with that is that you probably, you know, run a high risk of death or serious bodily harm. So, you know,
yeah.
if that's the route you want to take to alter your body and, you know, you have that type of self-image to where you feel you have to do those things, at least, you know, spare no expense in getting it done so that you're as safe and as lower risk as possible.
That you're safe.
True, true, very true. I mean, it's just like if you're going to rob a bank, don't go to the, you know, mom and pop credit union. You got to go to Fed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're going to go hard or go home. Question, and I'm joking. Don't rob a bank, folks. But go ahead, Jack.
One of the things I want to say in defense of the women who kind of do these things, we have made these sorts of procedures for them so commonplace and so accessible. You know, I think obviously I think women are dealing with a different set of sensitivities as well as a different set of body image issues that, you know, will promote this type of behavior. I know of three women just in my extended circle who have, against doctor's orders, tried to go to South America to have, you know, plastic surgery and things like that. Two of those things ended up with grave sorts of medical conditions that people almost didn't make it back from. But I say that to say that, you know, I think that if men could go into a doctor's office and in an hour come out with a head full of hair, for say, or if they could go, if you're one of those testicularly challenged brothers, go somewhere and add an extra couple of inches to your crotch. I think if it was easy for guys to do that type of stuff, you would see it be done possibly. But yeah. I just think that part of the reason is we, you know, society plays on the vanity and the insecurity of women, that even the women who you would think kind of don't need these types of things, they're all running out to get more and do more. I'll be honest with you. I'm one of those people who believe that Kim Kardashian looks better before she did all the things to her face and her body that she's done.
Yeah, no question about it.
And Little Kim, too, by the way. Little Kim, too, for that matter.
Little Kim, she looks like a gremlin now. It's very sad.
Yeah.
What were you going to say,
Jesus? Oddly enough, man, all this stuff that they put out there and, you know, as enhancement for yourself, all this stuff is just set up and designed for you to hate yourself, basically, because you got to really hate yourself to say, you know, yeah, put a can of Tide Flat up in my ass so I can, you know, look voluptuous in this dress.
Right.
Like, it's crazy, but people do it.
They do it. Let me ask you guys this, because what I'm trying to do is some root cause analysis as it relates to this. Now, I really would like to know, and what do you guys think, just from the top of your head, what the percentage is? I don't have the data on this, so it's purely a guess. But what do you think the percentage of women who come from single mother homes are who get this type of injection? I mean, do you think that even plays a part in it? And the reason why I ask that is because I wonder if not having a father in the home to tell their daughters constantly how beautiful they are, how amazing they are, if that plays also to someone who is insecure or may not see themselves as pretty. What do you think about that, Jeezy? I'll start with you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but if I had to hypothesize, I would definitely guess that probably women from the scenario in which you describe, where there is no father, you know, and they didn't have that love and nurturing from a male role model figure, I would probably guess they were at least twice as likely to, you know, go under the knife for some cosmetic type reason that, you know, we've been discussing as, you know, a form of, you know, self-hate or a form of, you know, not feeling good enough. I think they're at least twice as likely if I had to guess.
Yeah. No, I agree with that completely. What about you, Jackson? What's your take on that?
Well, while there's no doubt that literally there's no doubt at this point in 2015 with all the psychological studies that have been done and reported on that knowing that having a father and a mother helps to promote a child's, a male and a female's self-esteem. That's pretty obvious. And just in that same pattern, you would have to say that it would be a logical thing to say that, like, if you know what it's like to have a father who loves and cares for you, then you don't have to sell yourself in a sexually provocative manner to feel like a gentleman has to, you know, that's the only way he would appreciate you as a companion. But I think it's kind of hard, and I would lean towards what AJ's gander was at the stat, but it's kind of hard to validate at this point since so many of us are from those types of scenarios. I don't know if you would have a large enough pool who are from the other scenario to really give a fair comparison. So,
yeah. No, completely, completely. I'm wondering, how can we get this to stop? Is it ever going to stop? I don't think that women will or people will ever stop having body image issues or or self-image issues. But will this ever stop? I mean, I don't think that we're going to get to a point where people stop cold turkey. I think for much of this, people who are doing this don't really even think about the potential fallback or the setback that can happen, like death. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they think about the possibility of them dying from butt injections. You know, what do y'all think? I mean, do you think that they go in there and thinking, well, you know I might die, but I'm gonna do this anyway? I mean, is it really that bad? I mean, is it that bad to where they? Yeah.
I would say a lot of them go to places that have been recommended to them by somebody else who's doing well. So for that reason, I would say no. But at the same time, I don't think body image issues are the problem as much as the extremes to which people will go to satisfy whatever issue they have. I'm all for people going to the gym and working out and keeping yourself in shape. That's a manifestation of not being satisfied with the way your body looks from just the lifestyle that you're living. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I just think that everything is in a good space until it becomes obsessive. And to go and, as AJ said, use a fix a flat tube to inject some silicone into your body, that is going on to the extreme side. I mean, I would imagine that in the next 20 years with the way plastic surgery is such a booming industry, with the way science always advances, that this will be a much easier procedure for women moving forward. And that it will be even more commonplace.
Yeah.
You will eventually see very few women who have the economic means walking around without
big, gigantic butt.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and you know, it's true.
You got
SRS
booty joints.
Yeah. For real. No, I agree with that, Jackson. I think that's how they're going to try to combat it, and saying, look, we cannot stop women from doing this, so let's at least make it safe. Just like we can't stop people from having sex, let's at least give them condoms or contraceptives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
No, I completely agree. You know, since they can't, I will even go so far as to think that you'll be able to walk through Walmart and buy self-injected booty shot things that you can just get off the shelf and inject as big as you like your butt. I can bet that's going to be like that, you know, and I think it's going to be like that for a bunch of things. You know, I've asked this question before, and you know, it's hard to say that I wouldn't take a pill that would give me a perfect body. If there was such a pill that I could just pop in my mouth, take one time, and gives me a perfect body, of course I would take that pill. Now, Jeezy, would you take that pill? If there was a pill you could just take, you could pop it in there, and you have a perfect body.
After the little lab monkeys take it and only about one or two die, I'll probably try.
Right. Like but you got to throw in the caveat that women live with, the caveat being that if it goes down the wrong tube, I could contract cancer next year and die.
Like I dated a commercial that'd be like all those symptoms, like anal bleeding,
the
side effects, those things crazy. Like, yeah, because I don't want my eyeball to pop out on my bleed.
Yes.
Yeah, otherwise, yeah, I think it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anybody who would say that they wouldn't. I think it would be a lot. Jackson, would you take it?
Of course I would. Of course I would.
who wouldn't, man?
How much money I would save on gym memberships?
You and me both. You know how much money I save on clothes, and I just walk around
naked.
Yeah,
like you know,
what I need clothes for.
Every time my weight fluctuates about an extra 10 pounds, man, I'm still buying new pants.
You and me both. All I do is just cut the seams a little bit and let the sides breathe.
Yeah.
And then exchange my belts for ropes, you dig? Until spring comes. And then I can get back on the thing, you know, like I'm working out now. You know, I think we're back on the workout wagon. You know, I think winter is probably one of the toughest months to be committed to a workout. You got November, Thanksgiving. I think people who like skip Thanksgiving and work out through all that, I think they're crazy, and that's just my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Christmas right behind that. Okay, there's another big meal. Then you have New Year's right behind that. Don't let your damn birthday be in February. You know, so you just have you got 4 months of
all around
debauchery. Exactly, debauchery and celebration all around. So you ain't got no time to commit to this. You know, so I totally get it. So skipping to another subject that's been lighting the news waves recently in Atlanta, actually. One of the biggest cheating scandals of its kind in the U.S., gentlemen. 11 former Atlanta public school educators were convicted today, actually, of racketeering for their role in a scheme to inflate student scores on standardized exams. The defendants, including teachers, a principal, and other administrators, were accused of falsifying test results to collect bonuses or keep their jobs in the 50,000-student Atlanta school system. A 12th defendant, a teacher, was acquitted of all charges by the jury. And I wonder why. She was the snitch. So let's see. I'm telling on everybody.
He was in there just erasing. He was erasing them scantrons and filling in the right answers. I saw him, Your Honor.
You already know. You already know. Yes, yes, yes. So the racketeering charges carry up to 20 years in prison. And they're going to set their sentence date on April 8th, so 7 days from now. So, I mean, now here's the thing, guys. Here's where I stand on this whole subject, okay? First of all, I think that if our education system wasn't so screwed up to where you have these garbage things like No Child Left Behind, where you're forcing these schools to teach children, not even teach, but train them or prepare them for a test to take, right? I think that if teachers were allowed to teach students as opposed to prepare them for a test that determines their job, that determines bonuses, that determines all these things, teachers wouldn't cheat. They wouldn't feel the need to cheat in order to keep their jobs, right? So my take on this is this. Yes, it could have been prevented. Yeah, no, they probably didn't have to cheat. But I'm pretty sure they were tired of being, you know, F-grade schools and D-grade schools forever and losing out on bonuses and losing out. So if we change the system a little bit, right, where we actually don't teach or train children how to take a test or pass a test, but we actually train them in qualitative, quantitative skills, things that actually will matter to them, instead of just reading, writing, and arithmetic, even though those things matter, but things that they can actually use in life, I think we'd be better off. We wouldn't have issues like this of administrators and teachers falsifying test exams just to keep their jobs or just to get bonuses. You don't necessarily hear this in, like, a charter school system, because they actually – they teach these kids. So, Jackson, I think you're really familiar with this space. So we'll start with you first, and then Jeezy, I want to definitely hear what you have to say about it. So, and you guys may or may not agree with me. Either way, it doesn't matter. So, Jackson, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been a teacher before, and I've been on a couple of different sides of this. I think that it's unfortunate that we are slaves to standardized testing, and that goes all the way up to the SAT. I think that these tests are, in many cases, slanted on a cultural bias as well as a socioeconomic bias. And I don't think that when you are receiving kids into a school with a different set of issues at a different level, that you should be held to the same standards of accountability as somebody who deals with perfect kids from a perfect district in a perfect side of town, a perfect part of the state.
Yeah.
I think standardized tests have gone entirely too far. Their lobbying firms are very strong. Their inroads into being, just what people deem as being a real measuring stick or a rubric, if you will, is gone. I mean, you know, kids can wind up taking as many as 3 or 4 standardized tests a year. I think that's ridiculous. And even down to the way they give them. Now, I'll say this. I don't think that teachers, the only way they should be able to attain a bonus is by having a certain amount of kids do well on the standardized test. There has to be a better way to measure that. At the same time, you do have to have some baseline standards to see if kids are learning and where they're coming in at. But the problem is that we just assume where they are when they come through the door. So you can teach a child all school year long, and they might not be at a certain level that a kid in another school is, but when you look at where they were when they came through the door, they've learned, they've grown, and they've attained some skills to move forward. And just let me touch on this before I let AJ speak on it. I will say that if these people got indicted for this, then you should be indicting a whole hell of a lot of teachers all around America, because I'm sure that on many levels many of them are doing. I'll tell you a story. When I was in the second grade, my parents both worked in the school district where I was attending school at the time, so people knew me, knew my family. They knew I was a smart child because I was in, like, I think the gifted and talented class in the school. The day after we took a standardized test, the two ladies who were teachers' aides who worked in the main office, who were I guess, helping coordinate the test, they called me in, and they made me take the test over. What had happened was they looked on the Scantron, and they noticed that I had skipped one. I had mistakenly skipped one at the bottom of the page. So as a result, when I was supposed to be answering number 39, I was still on 38. So I was one behind answering all the questions all the way down. And they knew that when they ran the Scantron, this can't be what this kid scored. Oh, let's bring him in and do it again. Now, that's a human sort of reaction. Mm-hmm. I was a smart kid. I did well in those tests. There was no way I could have been that far behind. But based on, you know, the criteria for how it's set, I would have been a kid who got a damn 52% out of 100 on a test. I would have been tracked out of the classes that I was already in, put into the classes where I did not belong, and then I have to explain all these things. So that's the error. That's the humanity of the women who saw what was going on, but that is the flawed criticism of having one test, you know, validate a student's level of accomplishment.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, it's really interesting. I early on, I was not a good test taker because I didn't grow up in that type of environment. You know, test taking and prep class. I had no idea you could actually prepare for a test like that, especially standardized SAT, ACT. I did terribly on both of those because I wasn't even going to go to college because no one in my family had ever gone. My mother and father have the equivalence of an eighth grade education, so we didn't talk about going to college and tests and everything. Those weren't as important as it is now, at least not to my family. But I can completely understand why these teachers and administrators and principals feel pressured to cheat in order to keep their jobs and their livelihood and feed their family. I can completely understand. You know, I may not agree with how they went about doing it, but I understand. And they don't have the same resources in these areas, especially these public schools, that other schools have, that other schools are privy to. You know, I remember getting books, and, you know, I went to a hood school. Shout out to my hood school. I ain't going to say it on the air. But, I went to a hood school, and just in case the principal listens. So, yeah, I went to a hood school, and, man, we had it rough. The books that we were getting were from the good schools. They had used it years before, and they had notes in them. They had, like, highlighter pages were missing. I mean, it was bad. I don't know if that was y'all experience, but this was definitely my experience. So, you know, should my teachers have cheated to make us, you know, you never know. Maybe some of us would have ended up at Harvard, because I'm pretty sure there's plenty of cheaters all over the place. But I can understand why these folks would go to these extremes. I don't agree with cheating, but I definitely understand. Jeezy, what about you?
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys' sentiments on it. I mean, and anytime you have that type of, you know, standardized measures and they're being used to determine people's livelihoods and things of that nature, I mean, it's going to be a percentage of fraud and deception involved. And I mean, I really don't care because I think the way that is built is inevitable that that type of behavior, those type of, you know, things are going to occur in at some percentage. But what I do think is sad is that teachers and educators aren't allowed to actually teach, man, because there's an art to that, man. And like some people are really talented at teaching and being able, like, whereas, you know, Jackson might be able to explain putting something together in a way that resonates with a child totally different than the same exact way that I explain it. And that will make all the difference in the world. And I think that's what makes a great teacher. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, I always I had a fear of statistics in grad school, and I was in the statistics class so bad, man. And I got the professor that for statistics that had went to, like, Ivy League school. I can't remember whether he went to, like, Harvard or Yale, whatever. But his communication skills were horrible. So this class that I already had high anxiety about, that, you know, I wasn't comfortable with the subject anyway, and coupled with a teacher that didn't perfect the art of communication and wasn't able, even though he was brilliant, he wasn't able to communicate that brilliance in a way to others in which they could absorb and then, you know, give it back in a way in which they display some type of understanding as well. So long story short, I got a D in the class, but I took the same exact class.
D as in dog or B as in boy?
D as in dummy. Dummy, dummy, okay. Dummy. And I took the class
I took the class again the following semester with a different teacher, and this teacher probably went to like a state school, was cool, laid back, but his communication style and the way in which he taught was so much better for me that I made an A. And we took the same test because we took the test in a lab. So everybody took the same test. It wasn't like he was, you know, passing out easy questions. It was the same stuff, but he taught it in ways where I could master it and I understood the ways in which he described how to, you know, come to conclusions with certain statistic problems, and I was able to, you know, absorb that and then apply it.
Wow.
So I think it's bad when you don't allow teachers that flexibility to, you know, display their art, you know, in their craft.
I agree, especially after you've chosen this. I mean, teachers already don't get paid much anyway, you know what I'm saying? And they've chosen this field, some by default, some truly by choice. This is something that they want to do. They have a passion for teaching. And, you know, they can't even earn what they deserve for, you know, they're basically glorified babysitters, you know, who are teaching kids how to pass a particular test. I mean, these kids are going to go into college lost, I mean, because all they've been doing is teaching and tests. That's why you see a lot of these students from charter schools who are doing much better than kids in public schools. And it's not because they're smarter. You know, it's because they just have different resources, different access to resources. They have people who actually care. They don't teach to the public education curriculum. And there's just so many different reasons why we see a difference there. So cool. So let's move on to one more thing. And, you know, it wouldn't be barbershop conversation if we didn't talk about love. You know what I'm talking about? So I want to, and we've talked about some serious topics this conversation, so I figured why not throw in a little bit of love in there. And so, gentlemen, here's what I was thinking, okay? I was thinking about this the other day, and this came to mind, okay? I was thinking, what's the maximum number of times that a man truly falls in love in his lifetime? And by love, I mean, like, head over heels, would do anything. I mean, like, I'd catch a grenade for you, yeah. Even jump out of the way for you. You know what I'm saying? That dumb love, that tarted love, you know. So I think that only happens to a man only twice in his lifetime. So what do y'all feel about that? Jackson, I haven't heard from you in a little bit. So what do you think about that? I really feel, and I can tell you why, but I want to hear what you think. Do you think men fall in love more than once in their, I mean, more than twice in their lifetime?
I think it's possible, but I understand why you would say that it does not, because typically if a man lets a situation like that get away from him once, he generally will not let it get away from him twice.
Precisely.
But I think that, but I also believe that the older a man gets, the less likely he is to feel the way he did when he was 21 over a woman. You know, we become very, you know, as we start to evolve and grow and then identify what works best with the women in our lives, which is not being head over heels, you know, buying flowers and roses and telling you how beautiful you are. The older you get, you start to realize that, you know, that's kind of what got me in a position of deference with the last woman and why I didn't get that girl. So you kind of come to a space where you feel like, hey, listen, I care about you. I care about you a lot. But ain't going to be no foolishness going on around here. And we kind of take a different sort of tone to our emotions and feelings. And that generally, in my experience, you tell me if I'm wrong, generally that puts a woman in a position where she enjoys that more than you can recall the women who enjoyed you writing them love letters every day. So I understand what you're saying. I think it's possible. I think it's possible to be in love, be in sincere love more than twice, but definitely no more than three or four times. Anything more than that, then you're just one of those kind of guys that, like, you know,
you like that stuff.
You just like to keep a woman around. You know what I mean?
No matter what.
Hello,
every. Really though, you know, and I agree with you, Jackson. I the reason why I said twice in his lifetime, because one factor is the age thing. I mean, the first time is usually, you know, that head over heels teen love. You know, we've all been there. You know, I mean, I'm sure. And as soon as I said that, I bet there's a name that popped into your head, Jackson. I bet there's a name that popped into yours, Jeezy, of that
yeah, man.
That teenage love, right? The one that you just would do anything for. I know who the one that is. You know, I know who that is. And so, you know, and I also know that happened a second time. And I also know that it ain't never going to happen again. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm saying, you know, man only falls in love twice in his life. That crazy, that dumb love, you know. Now, I'm not saying that he cannot love another woman, but that crazy love it only happens twice. Jeezy, what you got?
I'm with you, man. I give it two good times, especially if those two instances ended in a tragedy. I mean, because guys are often less plugged in emotionally as far as putting our rational thoughts, you know, under what our heart is telling us to do. We can usually rationalize, like, you know, that'd be kind of simpish if I went ahead and just, I know this girl is in the street. I can't be loving this girl like this. So you can kind of rationalize that. Whereas a girl, like, she can be in love with, you know, a dude with three strikes and a quarter key in the back of his car, and she thinks it's some way it's going to work out and he's going to graduate from school. Meanwhile, the blue light is on right behind where she's on the phone with right now. But they tend to romanticize things a little bit more than we do. I think we kind of can take off the rose-colored lenses and look at things for what they are, especially after we've been dating, you know, extensively and have come across enough women to know what's real and what's not. Because, I mean, I don't even think you really are going to meet that many honestly good and genuine people, period, that are going to have your best interests at heart to where you should even love them that foolheartedly. So
yeah,
I think two times is enough. And if that didn't work, then, you know, hey, just do the best you can and protect yourself. And, you know, always be willing to look at it and reevaluate your relationships if necessary. I mean, you know, people change. Maybe that person was awesome 6 months ago. They could be a stone cold fool now. So you can't still look at them, you know, with the same perspective when things have changed. So
No, I agree with that. Yeah, I think that with us, and here's why I'm saying twice now. I'm going to defend this twice forever. Now, with us being men, we try not to make the same mistake twice, right? So I know for me, at least when I was first dating, you know, when I first started getting on the dating scene, I thought that all first dates should be at an expensive restaurant. Like, you have to wine and dine a chick. You got to, you know, spend money. I thought that that was ideal. I thought that that's what you were supposed to do. And I also found out that it doesn't work, right? So I stopped doing it. You know what I'm saying? Now you have to earn this money that I earned. You feel me? I mean, I really do feel that way. If you wasn't with me shooting in the gym. You know, you didn't sit in there and create these contracts. If you didn't help me create this bread, you certainly shouldn't help me spend it. So with the men that twice in his lifetime, I think a dude is going to make several mistakes, but I think that the same mistake he'll only probably do twice. I think after a while he learns his lesson. It's different for women. I can't speak for them, but I know it's definitely different for them. But us, if we're going to make a mistake, we'll do it twice, but we ain't going to do it three times. And I ain't saying love is a mistake, but it depends who you love. You dig? Because that could be a mistake. That could be a mistake.
Terrible.
Indeed. All right. So, anything else to add on that, fellas, before we wrap up the conversation?
No, I think we. Well, for me, I can't reiterate enough just how much, like, I agree with what you said, guys. We generally just, you know, if we feel like we let something get away or we made a bad approach the first time on a situation of that magnitude, we usually correct it and don't go into the, you know, the rose-colored lenses. Well, maybe she'll be different than the last girl. Like, nah, we kind of don't.
That's what women do.
Right. Women give that benefit of the doubt, and sadly, it makes them repeat mistakes, and they find themselves a lot of times in situations where they're trying to figure out a way to get out of it and why somebody's not being what you hoped they would be. Hope
true
does not, like, you know, spin the meter. You know,
it sure doesn't. You're right about that. Yeah, girl, he did tell me he sell drugs, but I thought he was going to quit for me. He told me he'll quit if I got with him. Yeah. Now I got to visit him on weekends. Well, folks, this is it. So fellas, if you don't have anything else to say, we'll wrap up the conversation and certainly tell folks that we hope you enjoyed our barbershop conversation, because, of course, we enjoyed having it. This is The Answer Show. And on behalf of AJ Miller, Jackson Bracey, and the rest of the crew, I'm Joe Paul. I want to thank you for tuning in. Definitely check us out. Check us out on blogtalkradio.com/The Answer Show. You can also go to Facebook and check us out. We are out here, folks. Remember, if you've got questions, we've got answers. Peace.
The Answer Show.
The Answer Show. Welcome to The Answer Show, the hottest show on the radio. line with Joe. Welcome to the answer show. We got all of the answers, yo. Welcome to the answer show. If you don't know, now you know.
The answer show with host Joe Paul.